Universe Media Network. 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 Network.
All right, Dave, are you ready to talk real estate investing with me today?
I am ready.
All right, awesome, awesome. Okay, so before we get into business, tell us a little bit about your personal life.
Sure, sure. So my name is Dave DeVito. I live in New Canaan, Connecticut. It's about 45 miles outside of New York City with my wife, Jen, and my two kids, Bella and Brendan. Yeah, I've been doing, I know we'll get into this in a bit, but I've been doing real estate for about 8 years as a side hustle. Spent 25 plus years in the New York City ad business where I was a sales executive and team leader at a lot of media and ad tech companies, you know, like Newsweek, some YouTube companies, social media companies out of home. Was a partner at experiential marketing agency. So a lot of diverse background in marketing. Real estate was my side hustle, but I'm excited, Antonio, as you know, in the new year to leave corporate America, and now I'm a full-time entrepreneur, so I'm very excited about that. You know, my first career after college, after graduating from Syracuse's Newhouse School, I was a sports writer. I'm a big sports fan, love sports, love writing and communications, so that was a lot of fun. And now I'm just living the dream. You know, real excited to meet people like you and just out there networking. So I appreciate having me today.
All right. I'm glad you're here. So I'm going to take this a little back to what you mentioned. Okay. So we talked previously. We've been talking for a little while. And sure. You have come from many years in the corporate world. So How does that compare to your current world of real estate and real estate investing?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I've always been entrepreneurial minded. You know, that's what kind of had me gravitate towards advertising sales, you know, back in the day. It's a great industry. It was very good to me. I mean, that was my formative part of my life. But, you know, the thing that I really appreciated about being on my own now and being an entrepreneur is just the ability to be a little more creative, you know, not having to worry about the corporate structure in that regard. Learning a lot. I've been learning a ton. You know, I've run sales teams for many years, but I've never run a business before, you know, holistically. And so having the ability to learn from some good people that I've met over time and implement some of those things and grow has been, you know, really exciting. And then, you know, last but not least, obviously there's that freedom that everyone talks about, you know, until you actually do it. And just, you know, going out there and having the ability to, again, try new things. I love to just run, learn from my mistakes, fail forward, as they say, without any, you know, fear of having, you know, a bigger organization, you know, to worry about has been really, really empowering for me.
Wow. That, yeah. Cause let's see. Interesting. Does it feel like it takes a lot of things off of your shoulders, even though you worked in a corporate structure with other people handling other things, where now the stress is on you, the responsibilities are on you, but it just feels totally different. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. You know, I've got, you know, obviously the stress of not having a pretty nice, predictable paycheck quite yet, you know, because I'm brand new to this business in terms of doing it full time. But to your point, it's also finding leverage. You know, that's the beauty of this whole thing. Trying to find good partners, good talent that you could trust and delegate to so you can go out there and scale is obviously one of the biggest challenges. So that, yes, is something where I miss. I've worked in my career in the corporate world with a lot of really talented people who are still very good friends of mine today. So finding, you know, and replicating, you know, those right now is one of the stresses and challenges I have in building my new company.
What would you say is that one word that really got you focused on getting into the real estate investing world, and why is it?
Yeah, I mean, I just mentioned a moment ago, and I know it's not very original, but it's that freedom. you know, not just freedom of mindset, but freedom of really choosing how to go about doing things. I mean, real estate is the number one creator of wealth out there. You know, I aspire for abundance for not just myself and my family. I'm a pretty down to earth guy. You know, sure, I like to do nice things for my family and friends and such, but I wouldn't say I'm a very ostentatious person by nature. But you know, my real goal is to go out there and, you know, make a lot of financial resources happen for not only myself, but going out there and helping other people. Now, I'm not waiting to do that. You know, I spend a lot of time, you know, helping others, whether it be my knowledge, my mentorship, volunteering, and such. But, you know, when you've got that financial gravitas, you've got a lot more impact that you can make on more people sooner. And so that's what my goal is, without a doubt.
What's your favorite part about being a real estate investor?
You know, I think the creativity of it. You know, one of the things that I really love is just, you know, that blue ocean, you know, aspect of it, try new things, try to differentiate yourself. You know, real estate is amazing. It's incredibly, saturated. A lot of people want to do it. You know, a lot of those real estate TV shows and just seeing the success is part of it. And so when you're out there, and I wear multiple hats, you know, as you know, trying to differentiate yourself is crucial in that regard. And so what I try to do, you know, one of my favorite phrases in business and in life is different is better than better. You know, it's very hard to be better than someone doing the same standard traditional things. And not that I don't do many of those things, you have to, but what I aspire to do is to find different ways of getting things done, different things to bring my clients and colleagues and partners to go out there and not only achieve, but, you know, have fun. So that's probably the biggest thing, that the ability to, you know, that entrepreneurial creativity. But I also love the collaborative, you know, partnership nature of it. You know, I'm a very competitive person. The business is a very competitive industry, obviously, but I really enjoy the fact that, you know, a mentor of mine said once, I forget the exact number, but it was probably about 12 or 13 people can make money on one individual deal. Yeah. And there's plenty of that said abundance to go out there. And so I really enjoy, you know, collaborating and getting on a deal. You know, I'm not a greedy guy. You know, I'll JV all day long with people that are more experienced and more accomplished than I am. But I also enjoy helping others that are maybe brand new to the real estate industry, getting into it and acquiring that knowledge and also, you know, making a little bit of money to get them going. And so
yeah, that's one aspect. That's one aspect you just touched on that I thought when I got into this industry was it's going to be just overwhelming with competition. And you totally found the absolute opposite. Is that the case with you too?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit. I mean, yes, it's competitive. I mean, when you're competing for a deal and there's multiple offers and so on and so forth, you know, when I'm talking with my, you know, clients with my Keller Williams Realtor business as buyers, or even when I'm making bids on investment properties I might want to acquire for myself, it's competitive. But what I mean by the collaboration and that abundance is that there's plenty of different things to go around. And not only that, but there's many different subsects of real estate. I mean, it's unbelievable how many different ways you can go about real estate. And so I am always listening and learning about different niches there. But the ability to kind of go out there and do different things and make a living, you know, make some money, you know, generate that, you know, residual generational wealth that everyone's after. There's many different ways of going about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, as you got into real estate investing, you're on this journey, okay?
Sure.
Throughout this journey so far, what would you say was that time when you felt most unsuccessful so far?
Probably in the very beginning. Not to be unoriginal about it, but you know, when I first got going, it was hard finding deals. It was hard just going out there and taking action in that regard. Probably, Antonio, the hardest thing was just getting started. I think, ironically, I'm a very action-oriented guy. You know, I've always, in my later parts of my career, both in the ad world and whatnot, have not been afraid to make some moves. But the irony of the whole thing is that I really had an interest in real estate back 25 years ago. You know, myself and some college friends of mine were talking about this back in my early 20s, but then I got a great opportunity in the ad world. You know, I was a young guy in New York City having fun, you know, experiencing some different things. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I created a great life for myself, but it took me a good 20 plus years to finally start getting back into the game. And so probably just, again, just not taking action was where I felt least successful.
Yeah. You get involved in this and you're like, what the hell am I doing? Should I really be doing this?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta overcome the fear. And listen, it's natural. I have it. You know, I always do. Like a good mentor and client partner of mine who's very established and much more, you know, accomplished than I am, he said it best. I mean, this is a guy who's probably done maybe over 100 plus deals in his career. And the thing that he says all the time is like, every single time that he's signing that contract, his hand trembles a little bit.
Yeah. And
that really resonated with me because the guy is just one of the smartest guys in the business who I know. Mm-hmm. And he's got a Silicon Valley background and, you know, he's a great friend and very much a man who I aspire to, you know, emulate in ways where I'm still growing. But that fear is tough, man. You know, it's tough. And again, if you don't fear it, the way I put it, Antonio, if you don't fear it, you don't respect it. And you're not serious enough about it. You don't care enough about it. You know, so it's okay to have that fear, but it's still tough. You know, you're still, you know, taking that leap, as they say.
Man, you just touched on something that is, I mean, I've been a musician since I was 10 years old. Okay. So you don't really, after so many years of performing live and getting on stage and everything, it's not really a big deal. But, and a lot of people say, do you ever feel nervous? And I always say, I've never really felt nervous, but you go through all the booking, you set the shows up, and when it's showtime a month later or whatever, you get on stage, and right when you get ready to start the first note or beat of that song, the nervousness hits you immediately, and you're like, what the hell am I doing up here? But then you just go through it. So that trembling of the hand, man, I can totally identify with that. That's incredible.
Sure. Absolutely.
Wow. All right. Today in your REI business, what's that one positive goal you're focused on?
Probably just building out this new company that I'm striving to create, that combines, you know, all the different things that I'm doing in real estate. You know, I'm a longtime wholesaler investor. I'm a licensed realtor with Keller Williams. I'm a hard money lender, you know, and trying to just incorporate all those things that really, you know, appeal to, you know, the real estate buyer and seller in that regard. So, you know, I'm a sales and marketing guy, right? That's my background. I think I'm okay at operations, but, you know, getting the operations, getting your SOPs in line, you know, your standard operating procedures, structuring your team, building out your phases. Like, I've got a very ambitious and comprehensive business plan, and a new partner who I'm really excited to have partnered with was blown away by it. But at the same time, she's like, this is going to take a while to get through. And so I calmed her down by saying, listen, I'm self-aware of that. And so what we're doing right now is we're taking this big, huge behemoth of a vision that I have, and we're trying to chop up what's that phase one. And I think that phase one is still going to be pretty exciting to get us started in the first, you know, 60, 90, 120 days, as they say. But, you know, that's really the goal, is getting that whole vision that's in my head, right? And now is on, you know, a document, putting that plan to action is really, you know, one of the biggest positive goals I'm trying to get going. And in turn, that's going to create that predictable income. I mean, I'm in that startup phase, right? And I've worked with many startups in the advertising world that obviously have a lot more funding than I do, right? I don't have any VC supporting me. I'm too small right. time for what I'm doing. But my point is that, you know, I'm trying to get there. You know, I'm really trying to, you know, get that predictable. You know, I'm really living off a little bit of my savings. I am doing deals, you know, in the interim to keep the lights on here at the DeVito household here in Connecticut. But it's, you know, it's that fear, as I mentioned, can be a positive thing to drive you. So I'm trying to get through that.
What's your favorite technology you're using pretty much day to day in your real estate investing business?
Yeah, it's Facebook. I mean, I'm not alone in that, but I mean, I've always been coming from the social media and marketing world for many years, where I worked with a lot of brilliant marketers who are clients of mine that really taught me a lot of the things about social media in general. I've always there, but you know, the interesting thing is transitioning from Facebook being a personal tool. You know, don't be wrong, I've got, you know, thousands of friends and family on there, but at the same time, Facebook, in my opinion, has become one of the more powerful business tools for small business people in that regard. You know, it's the ability to get that instant scale out there. You know, I founded a Facebook group about 4 months ago. It's going to be a part of my marketing strategy. It's doing, you know, pretty well. I've got about 1,300, you know, members in just a couple of months without doing anything. But it's out there. And I think that it's a nice link. Probably Facebook and LinkedIn are the two. I definitely need to learn my Instagram game a little bit, but for more of like the transactional and even the personal brands, LinkedIn and Facebook, you know, one of the reasons, you know, despite, you know, entering this new venture of mine about 6 months ago, I just last week changed up all my social media to kind of announce to the world. Now, many of my closer friends and family knew what I was doing, but I was a little bit hesitant to turn and let the my overall social media following know. And it's been amazing. I'm very blessed to have a pretty good following in both. But not only that, we talk about the mindset. Now that I know that everyone knows, I could talk freely and my positioning is getting there. It's just, and it goes back to what we were saying a few moments ago about being an entrepreneur and, you know, that freedom aspect of your mind as much as your time and your finances and all that kind of stuff. My mind has been, you know, taken to another level of freedom, and it's been really empowering and energized me in the past week alone to see the support of people who I've known for many years in a different capacity reach out to me. You know, I'm very, very lucky, and you know, I'm a very humble guy. I try to aspire humility in everything that I do. And so when I have people that are very powerful, I mean, people I haven't seen in years or spoken to in years, but know they care enough to reach out to me, not just on the social media platform, but by phone, by text, you know, that gets you going, man. You need that push, you know, you need that really, that good support. And that's been really a great thing for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Facebook gets a bad rep, but I gotta mention that it's like, it really depends on how you utilize it. And it's all a mindset thing. If your mind's in a different path, that's how you should utilize your social media to get to where you're trying to get. Yeah, that's it.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's if you know how to use it, it's a very powerful thing. If you know how to kind of, you know, stay away from the things that you got to worry about on all platforms, whether it be social media or anything else. And, you know, that's, I think, a pretty good edge I have based on my marketing experience.
Right. So now, I'm not sure, but are you currently holding any property or not quite yet?
I have one property that I actually inherited from my father, who passed away a couple of years ago. It's a single family. It's a beautiful Airbnb on a lake that I'm kind of, you know, starting my first foray into Airbnb, which I've never done before. I sold all my investment properties. You know, I was a multifamily owner here in Connecticut. I sold them all in COVID, primarily because I just got great opportunities. I mean, across the market, you know, especially in the market in Connecticut where I live, I mean, prices just exploded. And so I got great offers on my rental properties that I had, and I took them. But, you know, it was also a case where, you know, not to get political because I'm an independent. I don't go one way or another. I take it as it comes. But you know, the eviction moratoriums, great intentions. I think I'm a pretty friendly landlord. I try to take care of my tenants and respect their challenges in life and everything like that. But just the one-sidedness of the eviction moratoriums here just scared the heck out of me. Seeing a lot of my colleagues and contacts who are mom and pop landlords. I mean, the misnomer is that, you know, that fat cat landlord is some billionaire, multimillionaire that is out there just taking advantage of people. That's not the case, as you know. I mean, 99% of people are just regular blue collar, even lower middle class people that just chose to make that one of the ways of supporting their own family. And so the issue is that with a lot of people not paying their rent, even those that probably wouldn't classify as being distressed, you know, it goes to landlords. And so the lack of protection that landlords here in Connecticut and other states that weren't really protected with lenders, you know, a lot of a lot of these landlords use hard money lenders, which aren't regulated. And then even the ones that are using conventional, sure, you hear about forbearances, but most forbearances, if not all, are the cases where it's not like you're forgiving these rental, you know, these mortgage payments for weeks and months and months. It's okay, you've had a 6 month forbearance, but now you owe all 6 months of these. And that's not for all of the programs, but most of them are like that. And so I think that that, you know, that that panic to a lot of these fellow landlords that I know set in. And I think there's going to be a lot of unfortunate, you know, loss of these, again, small mom and pop landlords are going to be losing their multifamilies the next 6 to 9 months because they just couldn't make it. And so that's why I'm holding out. I will start acquiring, you know, multis in another market, you know, in the coming year, once I kind of get my core business that I've been mentioning off the ground. But for now, I only own that sole Airbnb project right now that I'm working on.
Is that property in Connecticut?
It's in Connecticut. You know, it's a single family right on a really nice lake in the area, and it's great upside. I'm giving it a shot. Airbnb is a little bit different than the traditional buy and hold, as you know. And so, but the other thing I treat that as just a learning experience. I mean, Airbnb, short-term rentals, whatever you want to call it, is one of the hottest investment strategies right now. I've never done it. You know, I the rental properties that I've owned, I've rented to the traditional, you know, annual or month-to-month core tenants. And so, you know, I tell people all the time, and I mentor a lot of people. I say, hey, you can watch all the YouTube videos, you can go to all the events and whatnot, which are worth your time. I go to a lot of them myself, but I think until you do something firsthand, you're never going to truly get it. And that's one of the motivations why I'm going to choose. And last but not least, just, you know, my family just loves that house. It's an amazing house that we were fortunate to find, you know, that my father left to us. Yeah.
That is good. So, Dave, if people want to get in touch with you and help you make some deals happen, how do they do that?
Sure. You know, Facebook me. You know, my Facebook handle is just my name, Dave DeVito, D-E-V-I-T-O. LinkedIn as well, LinkedIn with me in that regard. My email, I've got many emails, but for these purposes, you know, my email for my investing business is just dave@homebuyerct.com. That's HOMEB as in boy, UYE as in Edward, R as in Robert, C as in cat, T as in Thomas.com. And then, for my on market business with Keller Williams, it's simply davedevito@kw.com. And then, you know, any real estate enthusiasts out there, especially ones that are in the Connecticut market, join my Facebook group. I'd love to have you. It's CT Off Market Real Estate Deals and Funding. I'm really excited about what I plan for that. And I check that multiple times a day. I moderate it pretty well to make sure it's clean. And I'm looking to build something not just for myself, but for the community here. And so far, so good.
Excellent. Excellent. Community matters, man. Community is so powerful. Local markets, local people in real estate investing, they're rabid about their local markets and participation in groups like that. So congratulations on making that and good luck with it, because it's going to be great.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Since entering into the real estate investing world, what would you say you're most grateful for?
Probably the fact that I finally took action and did it. You know, like the story I just told you a few moments ago. I mean, it took me 20 years, but better late than never. You know, I'm really grateful for that, that I finally, and I got to credit my wife. My wife's the one that finally, you know, I got an invite to one of those typical real estate coaching seminars for free in our town. And she finally said, you finally have to just go do this. And that was my little kick that I needed to kind of dive in. Obviously I've made, you know, some good, you know, profits here and made some money. But, you know, last but certainly not least, just the people that I've met, you know, people like you, people all throughout this industry and different types of people, you know, is great. I really enjoy, I host the local, you know, Connecticut RIA meetings in my market, meeting new people every day of just different strategies, different stages of life. You know, I've met, you know, multi-billionaires that are investing a ton in funds and things that are way above my pay grade currently. I've met people that are more on my level or a little bit above. And I really enjoy just meeting people that are just trying to get started, you know, to kind of help them out. You know, I really try to mentor as best I can, share my knowledge the way that people did for me. And it's been a blast. I've been very blessed.
Awesome. Yeah. This community is full of awesome people, man. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Before
I
hit
with the last question, I want to tell you, thank you very much for being on the show. It's always good to talk to you, man. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate it. All right, Dave. So finally, what is your definition of real estate investing success?
Yeah. That's a good one. It's a big one. You know, probably just, again, just generating that passive income that will give you that freedom to be able to cover your expenses and more, you know, establishing that generational wealth of helping your family. But you know, what I always talk about, Antonio, it's not just what you achieve, but how you achieve it. And what I'm really trying to do is do this with integrity, doing this with an honesty and a selflessness, if you will, that I try to work on in every conversation that I have, in the way that I act and think as best I can. In that regard, it's, as you know, it's sometimes not common. And so that's a big part of my brand. And then obviously also just, again, I really want to strive to create that abundance, you know, that's going to allow me to be a little bit more impactful in helping others, you know, in a bigger way than I'm able to do right now. If I can achieve those couple of things, I will achieve the greatest success I could possibly dream.
Successors, I hope you've enjoyed my quick conversation today, and I hope you've gained just a little more insight into achieving your financial freedom and reaching your goals. For more real estate investing content like this and a lot more, please visit UnitedStatesRealEstateInvestor.com. That's UnitedStatesRealEstateInvestor.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay grateful, stay successful, and be free.
Music by Streambeats.